Turning your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 33. The book of Psalms, chapter number 33, and we're going to read just a few verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Give you just a moment to turn there. The book of Psalms, chapter number 33. And verses 8 through verse number 11, I appreciate the Lord this morning. And you know, none of us are worthy for any, just in and of ourselves, we are just unworthy. Yeah. But I'm thankful for what the Lord did on Calvary to make a way where we could even come and pray. Yeah. And then wants us to come and worship. Boy, God's good. He's good to us this morning. I appreciate His grace and His goodness. Let's begin reading in verse number 8 through verse number 11, and I desire your prayers. The Bible said, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your blessings, for letting us be here today. And Lord, we realize it's cold and rainy outside, but Lord, it is warm in here. And we thank You for that, just a warm place to meet and worship. And God, we can just come in from the elements. Lord, I pray we can come in spiritually. And Lord, for a little while today, get the things of this world off our heart and off our mind, and get the beginning of this week focused back on what it ought to be on. Lord, just to, like we've heard in song this morning, give ourselves afresh and anew unto Thee. Lord, I pray You'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God, and Lord, You'd just make it real, and Lord, help us today as only You can. I pray for Your help, Your power, Your anointing. I pray, Lord, You'd speak to hearts, and I pray, God, You'd have Your way, and we'll thank You for all that You do. Lord, we come and we ask for You to just help us now. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read couple of these verses one more time, verse number 10 and verse number 11 to get started today. And verse number 10, the first part of that verse says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught." And then verse number 11, the first part of that verse, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever." And you'll notice there are two kinds of counsel in these verses that we just read. There is, in verse number 10, there is the counsel of the heathen. It's on one side. Then in verse number 11, there is the counsel of the Lord that standeth forever. That's on the other side. You would probably be surprised to look in the yellow pages under counselors. I have never done that before until yesterday, and the thought came to my mind, and I thought, well, you know, we live in a small town, a rural area. I wouldn't think there would be very many, but I was really surprised to find the number of people listed under the subject of counselors. Then I got to thinking about it a little more. You know, newspapers all the time run advertisements for all kinds of different counseling. If there's ever a tragedy that takes place, I thought about up in Connecticut back in December, the mass shooting that took place. And they were talking on the news about how for those children that counselors had been made available to go in and talk to the students, the teachers, the parents. Last week or so up in Boston, the bombing that had taken place, I heard them talking about that there was counselors available to come in and talk to people, people that had lost loved ones, people that were involved, people that saw all the traumatic scenes that some of us seen on the news with, just look like a war zone. And so the state offers counseling. Schools have counselors available. There was suicide last week over in town. And I noticed in the newspaper what it said about it. It said, you know, they're not releasing the name because of the family, but that counselors were being made available by the school for anybody that would feel the need. And there's all kinds. If you really look into this, there's Christian counselors, there's grief counselors, there's couples and marriage counselors and family counselors and addiction and anxiety and on and on and on we could go this morning. And I'm even asked from time to time, preacher, do you do counseling? Other pastors I know, they get involved in counseling and talking to people, but I want to try to preach this morning on the subject of biblical counseling. Biblical counseling. I am interested in helping people, and the best way to help people is by the Bible. If we try to help people outside of the Bible or even with good intentions, do you know we can do more harm than good? But the Bible has a great deal to say about counsel. Now, the word counseling is not in the Bible. But the word counsel is found over and over and over again in the Bible. For example, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 14, if we thought about what is counsel? The Bible says over there, God said this, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. You want to know where to get good counsel from? Get it from the Lord. It's all His anyway. He said, counsel is mine. And counsel is mine and sound wisdom. He said, I am understanding. I have strength. Those words are all associated with good counsel. Counsel, wisdom, understanding, strength. The word has to do with advice. Proverbs 20 and verse number 18, the Bible says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Now, that's the key, good advice. You can get all kinds of advice, but is it good advice? If it's from the Word of God, it's going to be good advice. The Bible said over in Job chapter 12, verse 13, it says, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. So the Word of God has a great deal to say about counsel and it coming from the Lord. Now, there's another kind of counsel, and that's what we read in verse number 10, the counsel of the heathen. That's what we want to stay away from. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we have the option of godly counsel or ungodly counsel, biblical counsel, and what I'm going to try to bring out this morning, or on the other side we could say unbiblical counsel. I'm going to try to preach it like this. I'm going to try to preach a biblical counsel versus a worldly counsel. And I've just got three things I'm going to share with you this morning. And I don't believe it'll take me very long, but I started out, I had 13 things. So y'all say, amen, I'm already interested. He's already condensed it and everything. So just be thankful this morning. I've got three things I want to share with you about biblical counseling. Number one, I want to say today, biblical counsel is before. Worldly counsel is always behind. God's counsel is heavy on the front end. The counsel of the world comes along behind. There's a huge difference between those two. The Bible said in Proverbs 12 and 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Now, I'm not going to go all through the Bible today, but I did yesterday. I went through the Bible with my concordance and my Bible in my hand, and I looked up the places in the Bible. The word counsel is in the Bible over 140 times. And counselors and counseled is also in the Bible. But if you study it out all the way through the Bible, look up the word counsel and study it out, you will not find so much as one example in the Bible of what we normally think of as counseling. You just don't find it in the Bible. Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about this morning?" Now, you look up the definition of the word in the Bible, it means advice, it means to counsel, to give somebody good advice, to give direction is what it means. But just for example, I looked it up on the internet. There's a website called ask.com. You just ask questions. And I typed in, "What is counseling?" And it said, "Counseling is an effective tool for dealing with problems and emotional issues. You meet with a licensed therapist and discuss issues that are affecting your life in hopes of finding a solution." Do you know there's no scriptural example of that kind of counseling in the whole Word of God? You'll not find anybody doing that. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus meeting with the Syrophoenician or with the woman at the well? You know, He knew all about her, and in our day and time, we would say, "Buddy, she needs counseling." Jesus said, "The man you're living with now is not your own husband. And you've been married 5 times, you know, in John chapter 4 where He talked to her." Can you imagine after the Lord Jesus had talked with her, saved her by His marvelous grace, sent her out to be a witness for His honor and His glory, He didn't say, "Now I'll meet you back here at the well next week at this same time. And we'll talk about this thing about your husbands and your history and everything you've been going through in your life." I'm sure she just had all kinds of baggage in her life. But you know what? You don't find one example in the Bible of that type of counseling. But there is biblical, I call it this, Bible counseling is before counseling. There's all kinds of before counseling in the Bible. For example, the book of Proverbs is full of it, and about the first 5 or 6 chapters starts out something like this. Proverbs 4 and 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." Do you know that is biblical counseling? As you raise your children up and you teach them from the Word of God, you're giving them counsel. You're telling them before they go out and mess up what they need to do in their lives. That is the type of counseling. And boy, isn't God smart to give that kind of counseling. What to do before. Before. God's counseling comes before. God gives things in our life that counsels us before. God gives us parents to help us. Now, you may think your parents are dumb and don't know anything, but when you get a little older and you've had a lot of wrecks in your life, you're going to wake up one day and say, "Boy, Mom and Dad knew what they was talking about. If I'd only listened to them." Hear ye children the instruction of a father. God gives us parents. God gives us precepts. Precepts is the Word of God. God has given us. What do you want to know about it? Look what the Word of God says. There's your counsel. Paul said over in the book of Acts, I have showed you all the counsel of God. It's the Word of God. It's the words of God. God's Word will spare you a lot of problems in your life. Do you know over in Ephesians chapter number 4, And you don't have to turn over there. I'll just read a verse over there. But the Lord gave the church what the church needed for their for the perfecting of the saints. You know what He gave to the church? The Bible said in Ephesians 4:11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know what is not listed there? You'd think in our day and time that the Lord would have given counselors. Because people come along and they'll say, I don't know what you need to do. You need to see a counselor. You need to have some counseling. But you know what? God did not give counselors to the church. He gave pastors and evangelists and teachers to preach and to teach the Word of God to help us before we get to places in our lives. He gave parents. He gave precepts. He gave preaching. He gave practice. We've been studying in James chapter 1 verse 22. It said, and be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, that'll really mess you up just to hear and to never do. And that's why the Word of God said to be a doer. Do you know how to save a person from alcoholism? That's a tough one. You know what the Word of God says? Proverbs 20 and verse number 1. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know how to save a person from alcoholism? Don't ever take a drink. Don't hang around bars. Don't hang around friends and all they do is drink and want to get you to drink. Don't ever do it. Don't go down that road. Don't drink the first drop. And you'll never become an alcoholic. You'll never go through all the pain and heartache and turmoil and strife and defeat and shame and all the things that go along with it. Boy, isn't God smart? God said, don't do it. That's pretty wise counsel, isn't it? That's how you save a person from alcoholism. Do you know how to keep your children on the right track and how to keep them from ruining and wrecking their lives? The Word of God says train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's how you deal with your children. But a lot of times people just go right on, do any old thing, live any old way, and then their children get out and wreck and ruin their lives and they don't know what to do. I'll tell you, they do it right. You only get one shot at raising your children. And it is very hard to come back when they get older and try to do over what you should have done when they were little. Train up. That's a continual process. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Do you know how to stay out of divorce court and how to stay out of marriage counseling and all of this kind of stuff that is so prevalent in the world today? Do you know that half of all marriages that even go to marriage counseling end up getting divorced anyway? It's a failed system. It's not anything to brag about. And it is very disheartening as a pastor and discouraging try to help after. When God's given all the answers before. That's God's way of counseling. Say, what do? Read Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. You've got the cure. You've got the cause of keeping your marriage like it ought to be. Ephesians 5 said, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, many, many people down through the years have come to me as a pastor and wanting to talk, needing to talk, having to talk to somebody after the fact, counseling. What people really need by that point, they need a miracle. It's very hard after the fact to fix a whole lot of things. Instead of counseling, what a lot of people need, they just need a miracle. Because let me tell you something this morning. When you have blown by the counsel of God, run all over. Every warning sign has just been passed on by, paid no attention to. Like running around with scissors opened up and a cock pistol in both pockets. And running through the house in the dark when you have a 5-year-old, you are going to fall. And when you do, you are going to stab out all 3 of your eyeballs and blow your legs off and break your arms and everything else. And then I'm telling you, it's real hard to come along after that and try to fix. That's how a lot of people live their lives. They've heard it. They know better. They know they shouldn't. They know they're going down the wrong, but under God, they've got their mind made up. They're going to do exactly what they want to do, and they blow by the counsel of God. And then their life's a wreck, and then they want to talk about it. But I'm telling you, from the Bible this morning, God's counsel is before. God's counsel is on the front end. It's far easier to keep something together than it is to put it back together after it's fallen all to pieces. Do you know what the Bible says? Well, this is a hard pill to swallow. But in Proverbs 20, chapter 1, verse 25, God said, "But ye have said it naught, all my counsel." That's somebody that wouldn't listen to what God said. "You've said it naught, all my counsel. And with none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as the whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, it will come." God said, "But you said it not, all my counsel. You wouldn't listen when I was dealing with you and when I was trying to help you. And now that judgment's come, well, what are we going to do?" Biblical counsel prevents calamity from coming into our lives. Praise God. Worldly counsel attempts to fix what's broken all to pieces. Biblical counsel is instruction based. God says, "This is the way, walk ye in it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." God said, "Here's the map. Follow this. Do this. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father." It is instruction-based. Worldly counseling is reflection-based. After the wreck, after the calamity, then people come along and they want to reflect. "I don't know what happened. How did I get to that? I've talked with enough people." That's pretty much standard how it goes. "I didn't see this coming. I don't know what." There's a big difference. To never get to that place in our lives is far better than to get on the other side and say, "I don't know what happened." God's counsel is universal. It applies to everybody. It'll work. Red, yellow, black, and white, rich, poor, old, young, man, woman, it does not matter. God's word, God's counsel, it applies to everybody. But worldly counsel is just experimental counsel. And it says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'll try this. I'll tell you, that's a pitiful shape to be in. Well, that didn't work. I got to try something else. I got to go here and try this and try this. That does not work, especially when God told us all along exactly what we needed to be doing. There's a lady came to Brother Lonnie Wilson one time. He was a pastor. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he preached a revival for me years ago when I was over at Forest Grove. And he told the story. He said a lady came to him one time and asked him, said, "Brother Lonnie, do you have counseling in your church? Do you do counseling?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." He said, "Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night." He said, "I open up the Word of God and I preach to my people." That's before counseling. That'll do some good. Do you know today you are here, you are receiving counsel from the Word of God that will help you if you're here. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You ought to be in the house of God, the Word of God being opened up and preached to you. It will help you. Boy, it's helped me in my life. It's saved my marriage. It's saved my ministry. The preaching of the Word of God. Now, I don't have a statistic to back this up, but I would believe, I would say this is true, what I'm getting ready to say. And you go ask some older preachers if they wouldn't agree, and I guarantee you they will. Do you know the most dangerous position to be in church is just a Sunday morning, every once in a while, Christian? That's usually the ones. You know, because it is real hard to walk the balance beam between the world and the church. And the more you walk along the fence, the odds are greater that you're going to fall off on the wrong side. But I don't know how many times down through the years somebody's come to me and they've said, "Oh, preacher, it's a mess. I need to talk to you about this." And I want to say, you know what? I spent a year preaching on that. If you'd have just been at the house of God, everything you need to know, we've done went over it. We've done had that counseling session in church. Everybody was there that heard it. And now you need it more than anybody else and you wasn't there. It's just different that way. God's counseling is before. The world's counseling is behind. Number two, if you're not going to shout, I'll just go on. That's all right. I know how it is. It's like they song they sing, "If you're in the blood, get out of the mud." I noticed nobody shouted on that either. But it's the truth. It'll help us. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, and get down in front of God and get in His presence. That's what'll help us this morning. God's counsel is before, the world's counsel is behind. Number two, God's counsel, biblical counsel, deals with sin. Unworldly counsel deals with sickness. You know the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 in verse number 9, it says the heart, our heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is desperately wicked. That's what the problem is. But you know, we live in a day and a time where everybody's sick. Nobody's evil. Nobody's a sinner. Nobody's wicked and full of the devil. Everybody is sick. But nobody's a sinner. Once upon a time when society was better, people were sinners that got saved by the grace of God and changed their life. And America was a whole lot better place and churches were a whole lot stronger, but I'm telling you now, everybody's sick. I read an article in the newspaper last week and there was a man, he was accused of a horrible crime. And his ex-wife said about him, she said, "You know, he's really a good person, but he's off his medication. That's why he did what he did." How many times have you heard that for an excuse of some horrible crime that is being committed? Somebody that's drunk has a sickness in their mind. Alcoholics, addicts, things like that. They are dealt with as being sick. Mass murderers. You know that fellow out in Arizona that killed all those people in that movie theater? Do you know he was under the care of a psychiatrist and he was receiving medication and they were worried about him. They said, "Oh, and all these people that do these wicked things, oh, they're troubled in their mind. They're sick in their mind. They need counseling. They need medication. They need all these things." People have marriage problems, personal problems, problems with their children, and everybody's sick, and everybody's a victim, and everybody, their mind, it's all about their mind, but God says your heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Word of God says about it. Show me one place in the Bible where we are told, where there is an example, or where we are encouraged to come along and relive and rehearse and rehash and review things that have gone on in our past life. Where is that going to help us? But see, that's the modern day model for counseling, is to go to the doctor and regurgitate all your problems that you've ever had. That's not going to help somebody. Because why, preacher? Because the heart is desperately wicked. And I've been around long enough and talked to enough people. Do you know what I have learned in talking with people down through the years? And somebody comes and talks and, oh, I'm telling you, boy, you feel for them. And the other person is awful. But you know what you'll find out when you get around to talking to the other person? They was two sides to the story. You didn't tell me all of that was going, but now what? Boy, we've started war between two parties. They said this, they said that. Do you know in the Word of God, the Bible says, for example, in marriage, that we are one flesh. Husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives ought to protect their husband. They ought to, his heart ought to be safe in her hands. Boy, when you start throwing knives at each other, what do you think the Word of God says about tale bearing and bearing false witness and all of that? See, the model, the worldly model, it is based on regurgitating all of this stuff, reliving all of this stuff. But I've learned most problems are really very simple. And it begins with the S and ends with the N. You know what's in the middle? What is it? That's right. What's in the middle of my problems, preacher? I am in the middle of my problems. And S is on one side, and N is on the other side, and sin is our problem. What kind of problems have we got in America? We got sin problems. Why are young people, why have we got the largest population of people in prison than any advanced nation in the world? Because we got a sin problem. Why are half of all marriages ending up in divorce? Because we've got a sin problem. Why so much alcoholism? Why every day when you turn on the news, it's a meth lab. It's illegal drugs being found and sold and all kinds of stuff like that. Why? Because we've got a sin problem. If anybody ever needed counseling, I believe King David would have needed counseling. He broke three of God's Ten Commandments in just a very short period of time. He coveted something that wasn't his. That was Bathsheba. And then he went farther than that and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then in order to cover up his sin, he had her husband put to death in battle. If anybody had ever needed to talk to somebody because of what they had done, I believe David would have needed to talk to somebody about what he'd done. Well, David did talk to a counselor, his old man of God. And the old man of God came along to David and he counseled him. It was a very short counseling session. He basically said, David, thou art the man. You're guilty, David. David didn't say, but now, she shouldn't have been out there bathing on her. He didn't say, but Urijah, he wasn't no good anyway. He didn't say none of that stuff. The man of God said, it's your fault. Do you know what David did? David had more wisdom than a lot of people. Over in Psalms chapter number 51, you can read about what David's attitude toward the thing was. Psalms 51 in verse number 4, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this great wickedness in thy sight. You got problems in your life, you might ought to go look in the mirror. At old I, old me. Let me tell you something, you can't do one thing about what anybody else does. You can only do something about the one in the mirror. And that's me, oh my. There's a book, a secular book out on the market now. And honest to goodness, this is the name of a real book. It says this, And this sums up where we are in America today. It said, the title of it is, Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. Isn't that how it is? Mistakes were made, but not by me. Oh yeah, it's bad, but it ain't my fault. That's where we are. David said against thee only have I sinned, done this great sin, this great wickedness in thy sight. It said, mistakes were made, but not by me. And it said, why we justify foolish beliefs, bad decisions, and hurtful acts. Why do we do that? Because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because what we are made out of is sin against God. And you go to talk to people and a standard talking to somebody goes about like this. Well, what's going on? Well, I've got this problem. Let me tell you what they done. Let me tell you how they did this and how they did that. What about you? What about you? What's our problem today? The Bible Council deals with sin. The world makes everybody a victim. Have you noticed that? You're a victim. It's somebody else's fault. Your mama didn't do right. Your daddy didn't do right. Your husband didn't do right. Your children, your parents didn't. And on and on. And it's always somebody else's fault. But God said, just look in the mirror. Your heart will lie about your own self and convince you that you're all right and everybody else is wrong. But the Bible says that's the way that a fool goes. So biblical counsel is before. And biblical counsel always deals with sin. But I want to leave you with this, and I believe it will help you. Biblical counsel is Christ-centered. Worldly counsel is crisis-centered. Biblical counsel is Christ-centered. Worldly counsel is crisis-centered. It's all about the problem. God's all about the cure. Look in Revelation chapter 3. I want to read a verse over there in Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read verse number 18. While you're turning over there, I'm just going to say counsel is basically an Old Testament word. Proverbs, Isaiah, 1 Samuel. When you find the word counsel in the New Testament, it's basically talking about when they went to crucify Jesus and they took counsel together. So most times it's used in the New Testament. It's used a couple of other places and it's used in the book of Hebrews. But the last time you find the word counsel is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 18. The Lord Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. This is to the church that in verse number 17 said, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. That is the last word to the last church in the last days. The Lord, isn't it interesting that to that church is self-centered church. It was all about them. They might have said this, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing but a good psychiatrist. All we need in our day and time is somebody to talk to and blame all our problems on. But the Lord Jesus, to that last church, He said, I'm going to give you some counsel. I counsel thee to buy of me. They thought they had something that they really didn't have. Do you know that the modern day Christian counseling, Christian psychiatrist movement is I'm older than it is. It's only about 40-some years old. Do you know, up until the past few years, or in the past few years, the most popular, this is where we are in America, the most popular Christian upon the radio station, the Christian radio stations, was not a preacher, but a Christian psychologist, psychiatrist, Dr. James Dobson. Focus on the family. See, in our society, this society, we've moved away from the old paths of the Word of God and think we found something better. But Jesus said, I've got what you need. And I counsel thee to buy of me. The Christian counseling movement in America is patterned after psychiatry. This going, sitting down, talking to somebody, rehashing everything, coming back next week, talking all about it over again and everything like that. That is not found in the Bible. But in our day and time, people pay. They won't go and sit in church for free and hear the preaching of the Word of God that would help them, but they'll go pay to talk to somebody. There's something just sort of warped about that. But the modern day Christian counseling movement is based on a false pattern, a worldly pattern. I've thought about this. I wonder how the Apostle Paul ever made it in his ministry without counseling, talking to somebody about what he had done. You know, I've done a lot of, here's how we do, we compare to somebody else. I've done a lot of bad things, but I never did what Paul did. Paul stood by and held the coats of men that stoned Stephen to death for preaching the Word of God. That's what Paul did. And he was Saul then, of course, but then he went on his own rampage, arresting Christians, scattering them, hauling them into prison, went there with a letter in his hand and thought he was doing God's service. That was all before he got saved, but then he got saved. Wonder how he ever overcame that. Wonder how he overcame the remembering what he had done. And I'm sure he thought back many times about standing by and stoning Stephen, or while they stoned him, put him to death. How did he ever go on and do anything for God? I'm going to tell you three things and I'll be done. How Paul could go on after all of that. He had a thorough understanding of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he done it. And thank God he wrote to us about it. You know what? Paul understood this. Number one, he understood this. He was a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God. Thank God when he saves us. Do you know what the Lord does for us when we get saved? When we come to the Lord, buddy, we've got a list. Do you know what God does when he saves us? He just starts new. He said, I made a new creature out of you. You get to start old. You get to start afresh. You get to start anew. You say, preacher, you just don't know. No, I know what the Bible says in history, what's happened. Had Christians ever overcome somebody hauling off their parents and burning them at the stake? How did people ever overcome being made slaves and being taken advantage of and being persecuted? And I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things that people have overcome because they realized, I'm not that old man anymore. That's what the Bible says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe Paul really believed that. He really believed God gave him a fresh start. I believe he really believed God made him a new creature when he saved him. He understood that. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. I want to read something over there. Something else that he understood. And I wish that our society understood this more. But he knew the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what the Lord had accomplished for him when he died there upon the cross of Calvary. And in Colossians chapter number 2, the Bible said in verse 10, this is Paul writing, he said, "And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism." This is the baptism of faith, by the way, not in the water. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead." When you got saved by faith, God did an operation on you. And he said in verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross," is what the Word of God says. Now, let me tell you something this morning. You will never have victory in your life by bringing up the fleshly sins of the flesh over and over and over again. The only way you'll ever get victory over the past is to realize that God has taken your past and nailed it to the cross, forgiven you of your trespasses and forgiven you of your sins. And when Paul stood to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew he is a sinner. He said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." But he served the Savior that had taken his past and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And Romans chapter 6 says, "Reckon yourselves to be dead to the old self." That's an accounting term, which means just like you go to the bank and you make a withdrawal and the money's gone. That's what God said. That's what Paul said about our sins. "Reckon yourselves to be dead." That old man's dead. Since he knew he was a new creature and he knew the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe Paul could truly forget about it. And here's where a lot of people run into, they won't let God do a miracle in their lives with their past. They got to bring it up, rehash it, go over it again. But Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, he said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What did Paul do about it? He said, "I forgot about it. I'm forgetting about it." There's a wonderful thing. There's got to be some good things to growing old. And one of them would be, after a period of time, you can just forget about some things. When I was a young preacher, and I come back to this area, and I started preaching in different churches, and I remember having such a hard time. I went and preached at a church, and I hadn't been preaching very long. I looked out in the congregation. There's somebody that I went to high school with. And buddy, the devil jumped all over me. They really know who you are. They really know about you and what you've done and how you failed. And boy, there you are up there standing there trying to preach. You talk about making it hard. What are you going to do about that? Paul said, "I'm forgetting about the past. I've been made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took my sins and took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. And I can forget about that." You know what will help you forget about something? Quit thinking about it. When that comes up in your mind, what about this? Hey, forget about it. Literally, figuratively, forget about it. What good does it do? Does it bring you joy in your heart to roll over in the mud? over and over and over again, forget about it. Paul said, I'm forgetting about those things. A couple of years ago, I was working in a boy I went to high school with. He came in where I was working, and I hadn't seen him in a long, long time, probably since high school. And he was talking to me, and he said, I said, you remember me? We got reacquainted a little bit. He said, you remember when we was in high school? And I think we'd skipped school or something. He said, you remember when we was in high school? And we done this and this. And I said, no. He said, no, you've got to remember that. He said, told me all about it, told me all the details. I began to wonder if he is telling me the truth, because hard as I could try, I couldn't remember a thing he was talking about. And he trying to get me to remember, and I just said, I don't remember a thing about it. I've not rehashed and tried to live in high school all my adult life. Why do people do that? Was it that great? Was it that wonderful? We got to go back and rehash all this stuff? No, sir. Hey, some things, just forget about it. That was Paul's attitude towards the thing. That's how Paul could go on without counseling in his Christian life. He just said, I'm forgetting about those things. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we could get a hold of what God done for us at the cross, we could sing the song we sang earlier, Victory in Jesus, with a whole lot more oomph than we do sometimes, because what the Lord's done for you, you could not do for yourself. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.